Good morning. My name is Matt Hall. I'm the Director of Youth Ministries here.
Let us pray together. Lord, we've been here today to meet with you. We're here to find you. We pray that you will reveal yourself to us through your Holy Spirit. In our weakness we come. Lord, forgive us our sins, our shortcomings and failures. How glad we are that you forgive us through your graciousness and make us strong. How grateful we are today that nothing can separate us from you. How thankful we are that you never fail us. Even though we make mistakes, your mercies are new every day. You bring us joy daily. Your love never fails. Come, oh come, and fill this place with your presence. Let us come alive today and reach out to those who don't know you, to our community, to the world. Let us love the unlovely. Let us love the unlikable. Let us love those who do not look like us. Your grace knows no end and is available to every race, every nation, all who walk the face of this earth. Let us arise and be the messengers of your good news, that the lame walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear. This is truly good news. Hallelujah. We pray for those today who are suffering with afflictions of a broken marriage, the loss of a loved one, an illness. How grateful we are that Norm Pratt is with us today. We know that it's been a long road of recovery. We pray that you will continue to touch him, to lift him up, to encourage him, to heal him, Lord. Mend the broken, comfort the bereaved, and heal those who are sick. For those who are anxious, let there be peace. We claim your promise that all things work together for our good. How grateful we are. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good character, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let us dwell on these things. We pray this prayer with continuous thanksgiving in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus.
The scripture lesson for this morning is from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God.
This week I heard something in seminary that stood out. It got my attention, and it had me captivated for the rest of the evening. I want to share it with you today. I'm not even going to charge you tuition. The moment I heard it, it rang true. It was an aha moment, a million light bulbs going off over my head. It was so obvious, but so significant, I don't know why I didn't think of it before. My professor said that American culture is obsessed with production. Think about that. American culture is obsessed with production. Our capitalist society has inbred in us a deeply held value for production. Americans are focused on production. We like being productive. We admire productive people. And we read productivity books because we feel guilty about not being productive enough. We even download apps on our smartphones to help us be more productive, which I'm pretty sure isn't actually productive at all. I'm just trying to be honest. I heard once that computers were invented, or when computers were invented, some of the great minds behind them thought that one day our work week would fall to 20 hours because we are just so gosh darn productive. And while our production is up, thanks to computers, our hours at work have increased as well because we're just so obsessed with production. I think we take the same value for production, for productivity, into our prayer lives. Sure, in church we listen to the flowery, poetic prayer, but often when we're praying and there isn't a room full of people listening to us, our prayers are more like this. Oh God, help me with this, help me with that, I need this, I want this, come, oh Jesus, come, amen, done. We do a laundry list of needs, and then we get out of there. It's efficient, which is a key piece of productivity. When I think about this attitude towards prayer, I think of Colossians 4:2. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That's some strong language. Devote, watchful. There's a sense that we need to do it right. We need to be focused. We need an app on our phone to help us pray with devotion, being watchful. These are intense words. These words might lead us to worry, wringing our hands, biting our nails, and pacing nervously back and forth in doubt of the ultimate outcome. Did we do it right? Are we going to get results? Is my prayer productive? Prayer is serious business. After all, James told us, you do not have because you do not ask. Meaning, if we fail to ask, we probably will not receive. But this truth has to be held carefully, because there's another biblical principle at work here. God's sovereignty. The Bible tells us, and I believe, God will succeed in all of his purposes. Paul says that he works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And this is why Paul insists that we pray alertly, but that we should do it thankfully. Why? We should pray thankfully because praying thankfully instills confidence in us. It removes the uncertainty as we pray. Paul is telling us to be faithful and dedicated in our prayers, but also to remember that God is always faithful and he is in control. He sits on the throne. The battles that we're fighting are not ours. They're his battles, and he has won them on our behalf. Let's pray with that gratitude infused into all of our prayers. Because if we can pray thankfully that he's God, that he's in control, that he's going to win our battles, that he's working everything for our good, we'll never lose hope or fall into despair or live in fear that he has abandoned us when we need him most. When we pray thankfully, we can live into the truth of the verse that Karen read. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I know this is easier said than done. I know how painful the every situation can be. I've sat beside parents when their children were in serious trouble. I stood vigil in my grandfather's hospital room as he lay dying. And I lay with my father in his hospital bed after his stroke. I know the deep pain and anguish that comes from those every situation moments. And I know what a struggle it is to find anything to be thankful for when your world's falling apart. Sometimes the every situation does not go the way we want it to. I told you that God is good. And he wants what's best for us. But he knows what's best for us in ways that we might question or disagree with. Surely, Paul and Silas had to wonder how being thrown into prison would help their missionary journey. We're told that Paul and Silas sang psalms in the prison, songs of praise to God when they had bleeding backs and shackled feet. And we're told that through the thankful testimony of Paul and Silas, their jailer found salvation. I was reminded of this passage this week. We have a brother who found himself in one of those every situations. He's a missionary in the Philippines who's supported by Westgate Church. And he was falsely accused of some horrible crimes. And he's in jail now. And there's been a great deal of worrying about his health and safety. In fact, his health is so poor that the doctor wanted to release him from jail as an act of mercy. But he told the doctor, "Leave me in just one more day." Why? Because revival has broken out among the prison, and many prisoners and guards have come to faith in Jesus because he is there. That man's name is Tom Randall. I encourage you to say a prayer for Tom, his wife Karen, and their family today. But also, be thankful for what God is doing through this pain. In every situation, do not be anxious about anything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I think of Joseph, who was abused by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, imprisoned. Eventually, he found himself looking at his brothers, saying, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." What redemptive power comes out of that thanksgiving? When you can look at your tragedies and see how God has used them for blessing, and out of the deepest pain, be thankful. James tells us to consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's hard. But if you can hold on to the smallest joy or even the promise of future joy, those trials are lessened. Pray thankfully. Be grateful that God is actually there. He is present with you. He doesn't leave you. He's not preoccupied with the productivity app on his smartphone. He's preoccupied with you because he loves you. Be grateful because he hears you when you speak. The prophet Isaiah assures you, "The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice." Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. God loves to listen to you, and he loves to be gracious to you. And God isn't just there. He doesn't just love you. He doesn't just hear you. He is able. He is able. Ephesians 3:20 says, "He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." God is not weak. God is all powerful. And God delights in giving good things to those who ask. It's hard to be fearful when you're obsessed with being grateful. Thankfulness focuses us on God and away from ourselves. It helps us to see the bigger picture. Brothers James and Joel Beek write in their book, Developing a Healthy Prayer Life, we can pray thinking that God is limited rather than unlimited. They say this is the difference between an emergency phone number and that of a friend. The one you call only when you must, when you have no choice. You call it only in times of emergency. But the other you love to call when things are going well, as well as when things are going badly. Let's examine this principle at work in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." This is the emergency number. When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." When Christ healed the 10 lepers, 9 used the emergency number for God because they only wanted to be healed. But only one used the number of a friend. He returned to Christ with a heart full of love, communion, praise. The joy that followed the priest's pronouncement that he was clean was the joy of his heart being full of the love of Jesus, full of thankful love for Jesus. The brothers James and Joel write, "True thankfulness brings us close to the heart of God, to his love and grace. True thankfulness realizes that anything short of hell is grace. True thankfulness serves as a corrective lens, a lens through which we see God's grace in all things. True thankfulness realizes that anything short of hell is grace." Have you stopped to ponder the offensiveness of your sin? I always come back here. This is the sermon I preach every time I'm up here because it's amazing. We can talk about this truth every Sunday our entire lives, and it will never cease to amaze me. Our sinfulness is vile before a holy God. When we go before him, we're covered in guilt and shame. But because of the amazing grace that Jesus showed us, because of what Jesus did on the cross to forgive us of our sins, he defeated the power of death for us. We can stand before a holy God, and when he sees us, he says, he sees us as holy as he is because of the work of Jesus. We failed the test, but because of Jesus, we're scoring 100%. We deserve the death penalty, but because of Jesus, we're walking free. We should be shunned and outcast like Adam and Eve, but because of Jesus, we have a friendship with God. What an amazing thing to be grateful for. And it's yours. You just have to decide to call Jesus your friend. When we stop seeing Jesus as just an emergency number, but start loving on Jesus like a friend, going to him with both the bad and the good, we're going to find a tremendous amount of peace. Not only in those every situations, but in our very relationship with the Holy God. Friends, in Jesus, our attentive, powerful God who makes good things out of bad, who offers us salvation, we have so much to be thankful for. Will you pray with me? Thank you. Thank you, God, for loving us, for watching over us, for hearing us when we pray, for wrapping your arms around us in those every situation moments that are just too hard to bear, and for promising us that those every situations won't be for nothing. Father, we thank you for being a God who we can have faith in, who we can stand on, who we know loves us and will get us through. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for what you did on the cross. Father, help us to be thankful for you truly and to take peace in that thankfulness. Amen. Real fast reminder before I send you out, please partake of the prayer bouquet, the red flowers you can take to remind you, the white flowers you take to remind you to pray. You then bring it back when your prayer has been answered and you take a red bouquet out and you put it in the basket beneath the bouquet. So I invite you to partake of that. Now leave being thankful for God, for all glory is deserved to Him. Amen.